This is the Poetry Magazine podcast for the week of June 12, 2017. I'm Don Scher, editor of Poetry Magazine.
And I'm Christina Pugh, the consulting editor for the magazine. On the Poetry Magazine podcast, we listen to a poem or two in the current issue. This month, the magazine is celebrating Gwendolyn Brooks' centenary with essays and poems inspired by her work.
Emmett Till, the 14-year-old who was lynched in Mississippi in 1955, has been back in the news recently. A painting by the white artist Dana Schultz of his mutilated body appeared in the Whitney Biennial and was condemned by some as racially insensitive.
Also, the novelist John Edgar Wideman recently published Writing to Save a Life, The Lewis Till File. It's a nonfiction account of Emmett Till's father. In World War II, Lewis Till served in Italy, but was executed by the U.S. Army for murder and rape.
Lewis Till makes a brief appearance in one of the most famous poems of the last century, as Roger Reeves explains.
He makes an appearance, Emmett Till's father, in the Pisan Cantos by Ezra Pound. He's actually in the same prison camp and is killed during the process of Pound writing the Pisan Cantos. And there's a line in the Pisan Cantos where Pound says, "Till was killed today," and he called him St. Louis.
Emmett Till and his father are the subjects of a long narrative poem by Roger Reeves in the June issue. Reeves told us that he imagined Lewis Till and Emmett Till meeting in the afterlife.
And the poem started there, thinking about fatherhood. And, you know, I'm sure there would be questions that Emmett Till would have for his father and that the father would have for his son.
The poem is called Domestic Violence and has two epigraphs, one from Dante's Inferno.
"Let us descend into the blind world now."
And the other from The Cabalion, a work of hermetic philosophy published under a pseudonym in 1908.
"As above, so below. As below, so above."
Let's hear the first stanza of this poem. It's in the voice of Lewis Till, who is already in the afterlife, where the cruelties of life are being repeated again and again.
"A low country marsh trembles with the blood of an African who refused to climb out of the salt and mud of the bay and quite literally lost his head. A hunter named Hunter waits for the man's wounds to close and for him to rise again. Some call this festive cruelty paradise. Pleasure. Denby, the African made to rise and suffer another shot, calls it the afterlife. The unceasing blind world of death he welcomed, expecting the end to his captivity and exile. But there is no end to the perfecting of cruelty. Even now, in the afterlife, where a hawk humped up in the high weeds and a house on fire are a congruent sadness. A brief history of nature's one duty for flesh, decay, decay, decay. Sometimes it is as if every bird in the afterlife trills this one song, and I forget who I am, but then I look down at my feet shuffling in darkness and hear my name, Till, 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 and I know I am no farmer, blade or mule driven over some roach-ragged road to field and fray, and sometimes I forget how I came here to afterlife, to pleasure, to domestic violence, to drive, be driven, and then I look down at my hands. It is a war that brought you this peace, a war that brought you this peace."
That's the first stanza. In the second, Ezra Pound makes an appearance.
"And then I heard a question. Shall we kill all the masters? And before I brokered an answer, I heard a voice say, then we must kill ourselves first. And who will be left to kill the masters? I turned to find nothing but a boy in a tree and a girl beside him, their heads tolling in the wind like pecker fretted fruit. Voice, I said, come now or do not come at all. And there a man I had seen before scratching in the dust next to a drill field, with a dictionary and a strange astronomy for a face. Ezra, is that you? I asked. The peasant's bent shoulders, Odysseus and the dead bullock. Call me whatever you'd like. I come to every name like a white ox toward Pisa in the butcher's road. I come to paradise dragged by the hair with one day's reading and surrendered temple. You do talk funny, I said. He do the police in different voice, he said. And when all the voices sound like the police, I said, kill all the voices. And so ran. I ran from Ezra, who ran after me and demanded he be my guide. There is no running from the forest of men. There is no running from men. I'll be damned, I said. But before I could finish, Ezra said, that's right. Be damned.
This poem is really epic in its proportions. The epigraph from Dante at the outset really orients the reader to, you know, the ambition of this poem and what it's doing in terms of Till, Lewis Till, be a kind of Dante figure, and Virgil being played by Ezra Pound. And so it's really reaching back in history and literary history, but also very, very focused on what's happened to African American men, specifically within the last century or so. So it seems to me there's a great rewriting that's being done here.
And it's necessary. And what I so admire about this poem, among many things, is that it has found a way to grasp the way to go about that rewriting. Because for a lot of people, it's problematic to deal with Ezra Pound, who's influenced so much of contemporary English language poetry, and for so long. And Eliot gets in there too. Mm-hmm. When it says he'd do the police in different voices, that was the title of The Wasteland till Ezra Pound edited it for Eliot. And of course, Eliot gets it from Dickens, our mutual friend, that phrase. Mm. It was sort of glib in the work of our modernist ancestors. You know, there's sort of a vaudevillian or music hall quality of that, or something of Dickens' humor, having people be ventriloquists, which is what happens poetry, mm-hmm. even 20th century epic poetry. And here, it takes on a serious cast.
He do the police in different voice, he said. And when all the voices sound like the police, I said, kill all the voices.
So it is very serious rewriting that's taking place here. But at the same time, there's a lot of justice in it, too. I mean, it treats Pound rather fairly, although it's also a wry portrait, because you can well imagine Pound wanting to be the one who is your guide, you know, the contemporary version mm-hmm. of Virgil. And I like the ambivalence towards that here. There's a true affection as well as a wariness here, and an understanding mm-hmm. of something that Pound could not have understood, wouldn't understand, and Eliot too, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And what lies, I think, at the back of that does get set up for us in that very first stanza, where the trilling of the name Till.
Till, Till, Till.
It's like we are waiting till justice can be done, till justice can be done. And even in the afterlife, you know, this poem turns on its head the notion that there will be justice in the afterlife, because this poem by Roger Reeves questions that, as of course it should have to.
At the beginning, the epigraph, you know, the second one, as above, so below, so above, really seems to address that these injustices just continue. There's not really a correction of anything. And I feel as if the real climax of the poem in some ways happens with the litany of names that get recited.
Eric Garner, Emmett Till, Freddie Gray, Corrin Gaines, Trayvon Martin, Martin Luther King Jr., El Haj Malik El Shabazz, Fred Hampton.
These are all names of African Americans who have been killed by police, mostly by police, although it does include Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and so on. But some of these names are part of our extremely recent history. So it's really pointed in terms of situating itself in literally 2017, even as it's looking way back into Dante and Virgil, and even before that, into the Iliad. So it's kind of amazingly located in the here and now, even as it's reimagining this afterlife that is really inexorable in its injustice.
Carlos Alcise, Larry Jackson Jr., Kamani Gray, Rekia Boyd, Melissa Williams, Timothy Russell, Reynaldo Cuevas, Chavis Carper, Chantel Davis.
The flood of names at the end of the poem that you're talking about really is unceasing. And towards the very end of the poem, Reeves says, the gates of the cemetery are now open. And the poem ends with an ellipsis, so we have to see what happens. And I think the conventional wisdom is that an epic poem begins in the middle, in medias res. This poem ends in the middle. We don't know where things are going to go. We don't know the ending of this epic. You can read Domestic Violence by Roger Reeves in the June 2017 issue of Poetry Magazine or online at poetrymagazine.org.
Let us know what you thought of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org.
The Poetry Magazine podcast is recorded by Ed Herman and produced by Curtis Fox.
The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm Christina Pugh.
And I'm Don Scher. Thanks for listening.